I'd like to introduce our speaker tonight. Our speaker is Joe Wrenn, and what I mean that I apologized is that Joe, because of what his occupation was and the fact that he was well known locally, why I had never heard of him and his experience really kind of shocked me. You know, when I had the opportunity to speak with him, I mean, I was, you know, not only was he really a great individual to speak with and very open to come to our group and to share his experience with us, but, you know, his background and everything else, I think, just kind of, you know, adds another layer to, you know, the presentation we're going to have tonight. So, Joe has received numerous awards as a broadcaster, having worked with our local Fox affiliate, Fox 13, as well as with KSL. And then, you know, he, in the course of several years prior to his experience, Joe had encountered several episodes that were extremely painful, almost debilitating, that either it passed and he felt, you know, maybe it was indigestion or something and had been told by doctors that, you know, everything checked out fine. And in the end, fast-forwarding to 3 years ago, Joe suffered a massive heart attack, which is commonly known the Widowmaker. Statistically, 96% of people that have this type of heart attack don't survive. And I really don't want to take anything away from what Joe has to share with you. So without any taking up any more time, I'd like to introduce our speaker tonight, Joe Wrenn.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank the Irons people here. They've been great to me. I didn't know. I'll tell you, before my situation happened here a few years back, I never read any books. I have religion. I love it. I trust it. I believe it. But it's quantum leap ahead to go to what happened to me. I've essentially retired from television because I think, it's not worthy of my time anymore. This is what it's all about. I appreciate you all being here, your care for it, your recognition of it. Quick showing of hands, who's afraid to die? Kind of be crazy not to be a little afraid of death, correct? Who's had somebody who's died in their family? A couple of months after this happened, and I'll explain what happened, Fox people wanted me to come back on to television and talk about it a little bit. And I did, and I stepped off the set in a matter of a minute and a half. I had 30-some people desperately wanting to know more. And that's what I think I'm alive for. Keep in mind, as I tell you about what happened to me, my main thing, including in my book, I don't want to say anything that isn't absolutely true. What I say, regardless of your religion or your perspective on life, I don't tell people, certainly, why would I, what they're to think. But I do ask that you reconcile it with what happened to me, because it's real. The things I'm going to talk about are two or three of the most important things in the entire planet. You know, in fact, right now, look to the person at your left. All right, now look at the person at your right. Okay, that should be three, including yourself. Out of that three, probably about two of you are going to wind up dying, if not a heart attack, of some type of heart disease or what have you. I'm going to, in the process of talking about what happened to me during my death, I'm also going to talk to you about another critical thing, is what to look for. I can't tell you. I've sought county of the people who have contacted me, friends, people who are playing sports with, whatever, and said, I know I'm having a heart attack. What should I do? The greater majority of them tell me your symptoms. They tell me, I said, you can go to the doctor, but I'll tell you what this is. But there have been probably close to 10 in these last 3 years that have, I was very concerned for them at that moment. And of those 10, I sent them all And I told them, probably seven or eight, went right to the emergency room. They were having heart attacks. I am a spokesman for the American Heart Association. That's one of the things I do now besides television. They had a luncheon for me a while back and said, look, we don't have anybody who's lived through what you did. So that's extraordinary. And that's why I'm interested in groups like this. Anybody who will hear can benefit. And simply knowing what the pains are will do you a lot of good, but the rest of it's very interesting. And it really doesn't matter what religion. I've spoken to LDS groups, certainly, the Monsignor of the Catholic Church, who is the leader of the entire Catholic Church, had me speak with him and the six priests about it. It transcends religion. Anything real should. That doesn't mean to denigrate religion. That means this is what it's all about. You come in here, probably most of you want to know from somebody who really died. It was on television and newspaper, so it must be true, right? But I'm going to go into a little bit about leading up to it. Bill told you about, yeah, I had some problems before that. I did. I thought about, we used to have a thing called the sports page, and they still do it on Fox 13. And a guy named Mike Runge, you remember him? I used to anchor sports with him, and I went on the set one time, and the hypertension was so bad. I thought, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. This was 10, 12, 14 years ago. Lead up to now, let's say a year, let's go, well, 2 years before it happened, I went, took one of my sons and one of my daughters on a hike, a strenuous hike, and we got about a block in, and they were in great shape, and they said, let's run up. And so I'll run up with you. Got about maybe two blocks into it, and I felt pain in my arm. The first thing I thought, oh, just popped in my head. I don't want to die of a heart attack in front of my kids here. And I prayed. I didn't. It was a feeling right about here. For me, that was one of the first ones I felt. As the time went on, and it was just an odd feeling. You say, well, yeah, we have pain in our arms all the time, don't we? This was a little bit, generally speaking, this is going to be something out of your element. It's going to be something that isn't, in your mind, you're saying, that's not like something I've felt before. So we hiked and came back and everything's okay. Okay, I'm fine. About 5 years before this, I had the treadmill test because I was having little sneaky things and I passed it. Passed the treadmill test. So that's not always a good common sense indicator of the health you're in. 2 years, about a year and a half before this happened, I played a lot of pickleball and different things like that. I noticed, man, I guess I'm getting old because I'm running around here. I'm starting to get tired. I never got tired in my life. About 6-9 months before, I started to have pain in my back when I played and in my arm, a little bit in my chest. Well, that's weird. Went to my doctor. He said, you're in great shape. You climbed that mountain. It's probably stress. And you want to enable your doctor, right? You don't want to think you're having a heart attack. The doctor says you're okay. You're okay. 3 months before this happened, which would have been in June of 2016, I was in a tournament. I was playing in a pickleball tournament, strenuous, right? 3 hours. In the middle of each of the games, I'd have to, I'm sorry, I got to lay down on my back. I was had so much pain going on. And they're going, are you okay? And I said, yeah, doc says it's okay. I texted my doctor about a month before this happened. I said, I'm having pain the minute I walk out in the court. Yeah, you're okay. You're probably all right. We can take a test, but you're all okay. Don't listen to your doctor if you feel there's a pain. Grab your doctor by the scruff of the neck and said, I am your patient. Deal with this. Take care of me. I've got these pains. And that's what my doctor, I'll say, in case I forget, a couple months after this, I went back to him and he was basically in tears. And he said, I blew it for you. I am so sorry. I could have sued the daylights out of him. But I had especially after what happened, I had no desire to sue him. It was all part of this. But do not let the doctor say that there's nothing wrong. If you feel a heart, certainly. The night before, it was just getting crescendoing, getting worse and worse. My eyes are spinning. I can't really concentrate on things. I had a son who had just purchased a home. Really nice home there in Fruit Heights, and we were the whole family gathered around. We got a large family, and we all gathered around to see it, and I was really happy for him, of course. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to frighten anybody. I didn't want to ruin the occasion. They're all going through the house in the backyard. There's three floors to it, and I went out on the deck and looked out over the grass. I just said a prayer. Those of you might in here say, I don't believe in God. That's fine if you don't believe in God. It doesn't matter, ultimately, because he believes in you. Nobody's not going to pray when they're in this spot. I'll tell you that much. But as I was sitting there, I prayed, Heavenly Father, I ask you with all my heart. I got a lot to live for here. Please bless that I'm taken care of. I don't know what's the matter. I went to bed that night and didn't sleep. We had a big trip planned, my wife and I, the next day, and we're excited for that. Here it is. I mean, I got up about 5:30 in the morning, couldn't sleep. I thought, well, I'll get some exercise before we go. That's going to help me. I'm playing. Anybody played pickleball? Do you know what it's about? It's a great sport, isn't it? My son bought the house, is a national U.S. Open pickleball champion, singles. He's, you know, we're a very competitive group. And one of the things, I walked out onto the court at Monroe Park in Ogden to play. And as I was walking out to the court, I was just felt clammy and awful and thought, and I was walking and I had pains walking out the course. I mean, you're thinking to yourself, what kind of fool would not go to the doctor? Well, this kind of fool. And unfortunately, there's a lot of us that this will happen to. And I'm hoping that this will bring some awareness as well as recognition of what happens in death. So I walked out there and they're playing. And I'm playing with a fellow. I didn't even know this fellow's name. Apparently, I knew him or whatever. I was so out of it. 4 months later, he would come up to me and say, how are you feeling, John? Good. You know, I don't know if you know, I had a heart attack. I was playing with you when you had the heart attack. Oh, my word. I didn't even know that. So we played, and I was doing terrible. Anyway, it came down to one last shot, and I said, I am going to smash this ball, and we're going to win. And I smashed it, and we won. So, wow. That's tremendous, right? It's absolutely ridiculous. I was in there being competitive and putting everything above my health, and that was totally incorrect, obviously. I feel awful about it now. But so right immediately after that shot, Brian Lee is his name, came walking out, hey, you won the game, whatever. And right about that time, everything really increased at that time to, ooh, you know, like we see in the movies. He patted me, and I couldn't even speak. As I was kind of walking, felt like I had space shoes on. It was unreal. Everything was shutting down, literally, my body. I was seconds away from dying that bad. Bill had talked about, hey, everybody is pretty clear in their mind. Well, I had not even spoken to you, but that was exactly right because this was 3 years ago. I haven't forgotten one second. It wasn't hours and hours, maybe 10 minutes. I didn't have a clock on my experience. But anyway, I'm walking off. I couldn't even function. Nothing would work. I was surprised I was standing in retrospect. You know what happened to me? I go back to the night before. Or you can bring religion in this or you don't have to. But again, reconcile with what I did because every word I'm telling you is true. I heard in my ear, yell out, call 911. And you say, what? That's kind of weird or whatever. I didn't. I wasn't in my body. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. But with every last breath, and literally it turned out to be my last breath, I yelled that out and collapsed the second after that to the ground and was unconscious. Well, that was enough to spur. There's a fellow there that had learned, I found out later, CPR 2 weeks before that, one of those things. So that everybody else said, oh, he's joking, he's kidding. They came running over. He's not kidding. He doesn't have a pulse. He's not breathing. So panic set in for everybody, but he went about it right away and commanded people to do the things. I was there, but I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly. I'm just going by what they told me. And so for 6 minutes, I have a daughter that has since entered nursing school, and she's telling me in one of her classes that she was at the University of Denver, look, people don't live for 6 minutes, let alone don't have major brain problems or what have you. That's pretty rare to get past four. They said he hadn't breathed for 6 minutes, and they kept on, but they called. They then had the EMTs arrive. They kept doing their thing. A group of them, which really touched my heart when I heard about it, group of them, and there were some missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ that were got in a circle and were praying, and when they said amen, I took a breath, and I thought that was wonderful. EMTs arrived, to make a long story short, took over, got me to the hospital, and then in the hospital, by definition, when you die, you're in the worst physical shape, mental, and every other shape of your life, right? So things were really hazy, and I arrived there, and it felt like I was kind of floating in. Doctors run around and so forth. I thought I saw my wife. I thought I saw a bunch of people, but apparently I hadn't. But I was in my right mind, and then kind of went out. But then I came to again, woke up, and I heard the doctor saying, well, something to the effect that he's not going to live. His heart is shot. I don't know what to do for him. Maybe we'll sew him back up. He had a slight pulse. And they were in surgery. And I thought, well, who's this poor guy? I had no idea it was that bad off. Who's this poor guy? It was like Ebenezer Scrooge looking at his own gravestone. And I thought, well, who's this? And then it dawned on me. It hit me. I'm the one who's dying and had died and is going to die again. It was the most frightening. Did you ever have one of those dreams, especially as a kid, where you wake up and your heart says, bomb, 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 bomb? It was the worst feeling you could possibly imagine. I mean, the pain was overridden by the fright and the terror of it all. It's just blowing me away. And then it happened. What was the worst day of my life turned out unquestionably to be the best few moments I'll ever have in life until death. And that was, I was removed from it all. I said for 2 weeks, and finally, my wife said, you're in that dark emergency room, emergency surgery room. It was pretty dark. And maybe it was. It was absolutely bright in there. And so I left who I was, my body and whatnot, and it was glorious. I was happy. I was almost giddy. Maybe I was giddy. I didn't have pain. I didn't sit around and think, oh, man, I'm in heaven or whatever. It didn't matter. I was out. The stark contrast from the frightened, dark, and awfulness of it all to this was so incredible. I was euphoric, and it made absolutely no sense. Worldly, does it? And I heard 8 words. Most of it was just a spiritual, absolute spiritual thing. I knew who was right there with me without any question. I didn't ever sit around and think, I wonder what that, no, I knew. And the words that were in my ear, the 8 words I wrote in my book, and I just think about them all the time, many, many dear souls are praying for you. And I was so overjoyed, and I found out later on Facebook and everything, this had gone out, a lot of people that do, and were praying. Every prayer is answered. I started praying for myself. Yeah, that's okay. That's great. That's how I'm what you were doing, sir. I don't know if the doctors thought I was insane, but I wasn't. And in fact, I felt, you know, just elevated from not that body anymore. So the times that I had died, coming in and out of death, according to the doctors, but the time that I was enjoying this really didn't matter to me because I was there, and I had at the time 11 grandkids. Look too young for that, don't I? Right? I thought I am so. Oh, before that, I'll say on the prayers. I, as sure as you're sitting here, I felt the prayers going through my body, and I said. Or whoever I was, or wherever I was, or whatever. That's the coolest feeling in the world. How am I ever going to describe, with probably the smile I have on my face, how am I ever going to describe what I'm feeling? And really, right now, I can't adequately. But it was wonderful. And I thought, am I out of my mind? Whatever you think. It was, again, you want to go back to Charles Dickens and Scrooge, he's jumping around so excited. There are a lot of parallels there. I know. I can never, those 11 grandkids, I'm always, I know three of them or four of them right off the bat. Of course, I love them and all that. I'm gonna say their names. All the while, the doctors are realizing they're not going to be able to save this body. I went bang, 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 bang. I do it right now. Allie, Emily, I probably do it now. I can't even remember. I went bang, 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 bang. And I said, I did it. I'm absolutely within every faculty that I have. This is happening, and I couldn't be more excited. It was just so glorious. I saw about, I say 10 people. They weren't people that I knew, per se, but they were people presumably of every religion. I could tell there was somebody who was there with a Muslim outfit or whatever. And it was joy. It was great. After this, I used to say, I've got my religion and it's right and all those things. Well, I do, and I think it is. But that furthered the fact that there isn't a person in the world. It may be me being a broadcaster and arrogant, and I was all those things. I knew it. But I do know that everything changed at that second. One of the common threads I hear from others is, and a question that probably would be asked, and it's been asked many times before of me, did you have a choice? And this is the thing for everybody to remember. I'm going back. I will go back there. It would have been great to just remain in that inner area where I was hovering. There's not a person in this room, regardless of how you feel, that isn't going to be there. That's the best news you could possibly hear. And that's why I quit TV. I got charities. I'm no special guy, but I know that the only reason I'm here live is to be here talking with groups like this, period. And it gives me the most joy and happiness. And it gives, I hope, for each of you, a great deal of confidence. Just like I did with the Monsignor. And then I spoke at a different Catholic church, actually, and then I went down and sit down, and the priest came running down the aisle of this large Catholic church and gave me a hug and said, after this, I want to hear more. Again, it transcends religion. It's the most joyous thing. So when I began this meeting about who's afraid to death, not everybody raised their hand. That's okay. Maybe you weren't sure or whatever, but you needn't be. My fear level in life is almost zero. I go on the scary rides at Lagoon now, and I never did in my life. Why should I be frightened of anything? I saw this. I witnessed for myself. I know that it happened. I know that there is a place after that. There are a few things that I don't talk about, even in the book, that are kind of sacred to me. But when it came to the question that I haven't quite answered yet about having a choice, do I have a choice? Yeah, it turned out I did have a choice. But the choice was to me that, do you want to stay or you want to go? Almost as simple as that. It was all, again, to me, recognized that it was through a real strong spiritual thing. A real strong spiritual thing doesn't even begin to describe what it was. My whole body was told, it's your choice. And I thought, well, my wife, kid, I think I got to a couple of the kids. I've got four kids. Done deal. You're going back. And then it was really about that moment that I became cognizant again. I'm back in the world. The pain's back. I never questioned whether or not I should go because I think I had responsibilities. But then it was awful and miserable again. I don't know how long that period is. I'll be honest with you. Again, when you're in the death, and I already died a few times before this, they tell me your endorphins in your body died. Your body doesn't even know it's alive for a while. So it's mentally and physically, it's debilitating quite a bit. But I know the things that I know. A few more than that. If you ask a question about it, maybe I'll feel like talking about it. So I don't know exactly how long that period is. It doesn't matter. I know what happened. I know as sure as you're sitting here, and it was, you know, we're all going to go through it. And really, you anticipate it. I'm glad to come back and do what I can, and with my family, certainly, and try to make amends for things where I could have been even better or better at things with everybody. But I know that every time I'm asked to speak, boy, you go do it. You might not have a day after that. I fully look forward to returning there. You all will too, or should too, can feel good about that. It's real. It's for everybody. You could get a Hubble space scope that will go 20 billion light years away. And you know what? As far as we know, there is not one person out there like you. You are amazing. Everybody in here is a superstar of the galaxies. And you say, oh, I'm not much. Don't ever say that. You're alive and you have breath. You are one of the most amazing things. In this case, it's an intelligence in the entire every galaxy that there is, that we know of right now. Recognize that. Recognize the importance of life, continuing on, doing the best you possibly can. I'll say one other thing, and I don't need to get terribly religious. I think I probably already have. But I suspect a lot of you are, and if you aren't, again, reconcile what I'm saying. None of this is contrived. The only negative, the only slight negative, if that's it, I don't even know how to term it. But when it was clear to me, okay, I'm coming back and I'm feeling pains, I'm back in this world that's so frightening, because nothing had changed. And it was frightening. It turned right immediately black, kind of dark and scary and awful. I wished, and it happened for several weeks, that it was really clear to me and I made changes. I wish I'd done more for the person who created me. I mean, every day we need to do something. There's not a person in this world that we're not, that's in our life that we're not supposed to be of service to in one way or another. That can be easy, it can be hard. But I will get this off my chest to all of you. I've warned you. Be good to everybody, even those who despitefully use you. There's a purpose and a reason. A lot of that reason goes back to you. Am I able to withstand the things that people have done to me? That way you can be happy. You can be happy forever and ever and ever. That's the only thing you're going to be concerned about when you die, and you're going to die. It's funny when people say, oh, I'm in great shape, you know. That's us, right? That's us humans. But I say, thank goodness you're going to die. Thank goodness I am. I'm going to be responsible for every word I said today. I'm thrilled with it. I'm very happy to be able to do that. I went for whatever period this was. I went immediately. They rushed me out and euphoric. I'm happy. I was told, this is another critical thing. There are only 8 words, but I was told clearly, you're going to make a full recovery. And I remember sitting there, that was even before I counted the grandkids. I remember thinking, yeah, that's great. I'm fine anyway, as far as I knew. The last I knew, I collapsed. I was in pain, but doctors told me I'm okay. I thought that was no big deal. Okay, you know. But I'm glad. Oh, that's good, you know. That kind of thing. I don't even know how I felt, but it was. Well, it came crashing down on me as I got back into this world of ours. That they took me into another room, and I thought, oh, good, you know, I can see, I can breathe, and, you know, I must be fine now, whatever that was, got rid of that bug. They brought me in to this room where the chief of cardiology came in, who I happen to know, had actually church functions with, and he said, Joe, I hate to tell you this. He's probably way too bold. Don't be this bold to me. That scared the. He told me, you've got about a 3 or 4% chance to live. Whatever blood I had in my face went out. What? Because I had just had this glorious moment. Pardon me? That's kind of what I held on to. But apparently it wasn't much better. I was shocked. I returned to being frightened and scared. But I did have that feeling myself. Keep the faith. You know what you just witnessed. And so I did, but it was really, really hard. And then they came in and said, yeah, people had to do the paddles on you and all that stuff. And I couldn't handle it. I said, I cannot. What happened to me alone, that experience, would have been enough for me to just, I got to go away for 2 weeks and really internalize all this, let alone now to have to deal with that part of it, which I did. And I said, well, what? All my family's gathered around, took a final picture. But I'll tell you what, I heard, God bless you, but you know what? We have that picture. I didn't even know really it was taken, but we have a picture of the whole family. There's, I don't know, 20, 30, I don't know how many. Guess who the only one smiling was? I knew that everything was great. I knew I was going to die. You have a physical, a mental, and a spiritual part of your life, at least I do. The physical and mental were just saying, you're a goner. You're awful. Spiritual side said, no, remember what happened. And so I did. And I said to myself, I'm going to live. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to make full recovery. They gave me a week in the hospital. I didn't die anymore. That was a good sign, right? I'm looking for the positives. But they said, in a week, if your heart is any better, we'll try to have open heart surgery. But just get your things in order. And so I did. I grew stronger and I grew more frightened at the same time. But I did know what happened. There's no question about it. Knew I'd make a full recovery. They didn't. But they did. They do the surgery where they take the artery out of your leg, which just happens to be exactly like the one in your heart. Is that a coincidence? No. I had a brand new heart. I lived through that. It was a really excruciating time. Having heart, did you have that problem? Your husband, I love the basketball coach at BYU just had a heart attack, and I hope that everything works out good. I'd love to go talk to him. I've since gone back to McKady Hospital, where they brought me to, and just seeing, especially the elderly. I thought to myself when I was in there, how could somebody older not be able to handle this? So I'll go in and talk to them and visit with them. You know, I'll tell you my story or whatever, and. But it's going to. You can get through this. You don't think you can. It's brutal. That isn't the point of all this. I did have the surgery, and 2 days later, I just had this strong feeling, you're gone. Get out of here. So I told the doctor, I'm ready to go. And he said, you're out of your head, and brought a fleet of nurses in and whatnot. And they said, you can't. I said, I know what I know. Let me go. I got a lot of exercise. They walked me down the hall about from here to here, and I was exhausted. So I can see what they were thinking. And great for the medical world. We need them. But there's also another element to this. Without question. Without any question. So again, reconcile that in your life. Questions or whatever. I was at a college graduation, and college-age kids had the greatest, great questions. I've been to a senior citizens' home with 100 of them who were getting close to dying themselves. They had great questions. I haven't had a question asked that I wasn't thrilled to try to answer.
If there's one thing you need to choose as a message for us to take home to introduce into our life, based on your experience, what is it going to be?
Concerned about offending anybody, but I want everybody to take it in the right vein. I thought about wanting to, marvelous opportunity to come back and correct things is something I don't take for granted. I think I lived a good life. I'm not trying to act like things that are wrong or bad or evil. I try to avoid that, but there's so much more that we can do. For me, again, reconcile if you're not religious, but my absolute feeling was I wished I had done more for my Savior. Because I hadn't. And it's critical. When you die, that's going to be the first person. That's going to be what you face the second you die. It's inevitable. So live a great life. Live a happy life. You got kids? Treat them wonderfully. If you got a wife, treat them much better than yourself. Neighbors, anybody. Ironically, the world kind of has you do otherwise, right? Ironically, that's when you're the most happy. I thought, last 3 years I've been so happy. And yes, I'm far from perfect yet. But I am just so happy. I'll think up all day long a lot of times, make a recompense for things that were problematic for me before. I don't want to go back and face a maker who was in any way isn't very pleased and who is also very forgiving. It's just such a joy, and you think, how can we be worth it? I tell people with absolute honesty, you don't even know it, and you've won 100 million lotteries, infinitely more than that already. You've got it made. You shouldn't have bad days. You say, well, I have pain. Okay. I don't know if pain gets much worse than I went through. Somebody asked me a day or two after it, this experience, the death, man, would you go through it? If you had a chance not to do that again, would you? Even then, I show you the scar. When I first saw it, I was just shocked. And now I'm thrilled. It's kind of going away, but I'm just thrilled. I said, yes, I would. The second, 5 minutes after it happened, I would have told people, yeah, I'm very great. What else is there to life except to have such a marvelous opportunity? And that's what it was. Thank you.
Thank you for coming and sharing. We appreciate your inspiration. So in listening to you speak, you had a near-death experience, but I am unclear as to what happened in that experience.
Physically, what you feel? What?
No. What happened when you were dead? Spiritually, what happened?
The part that I talked about, when it began and when I left from my body, when I was dealing with the pains and the awful symptoms of somebody who had died and somebody who had a heart attack and heart isn't functioning and all those things, it's, you can't even describe the negative feelings physically and everything else. I can't describe it. You just don't want to be going through that, especially after you lived and died and your body's in turmoil. The contrast, again, was being elevated from that. And to go in, I mean, within a second. It was funny, most of the people since then, I never read books on this, and I never knew anything about the near-death. I wasn't near death, it was death. And that's pretty unique, but a lot of the common denominators with people who talk about this saying, well, we saw light and that type of thing, absolutely did. I thought the whole room was glowing. And then in where I, at my spot, which not in body thing, but wherever I was, didn't really matter. So for all I know that, yeah, I wasn't even alive. I don't know. I never really sat down to break that down. But what I do know is everything was your greatest hope for heaven would be. No fear, no pain. It doesn't make any worldly sense whatsoever. The guy who is so near death, still at that point, would feel good or healthy or happy or strong and joyous. So maybe it was 10 minutes, maybe it was 15. I don't even know. Time just kind of, I knew that I was exhausted from that after it was over.
So your experience was that there was illumination and you felt good, but you didn't go anywhere, but you met someone?
I would like to be able to describe in more detail the physical state that I was in, maybe. But to me, it wasn't in any way not real or not that I was cognizant and that I was where this place was. It may have been right there in that. I was enveloped in something that I had never experienced before. And all I know is that cocoon was the greatest feeling.
So heaven came to you.
If you want to describe it, I can't imagine a better way to describe it. I'm talking about, and I said when Fox came to me about a month after this, I'd lost 20 pounds and I was still in miserable shape and I was getting worse and worse. After you have it, the surgery, it's quite a recovery, and it's particularly mine. But what I said, if you're going to ask that question, I'm going to answer it. When they called and said, we really want to do a story on this, I said, I didn't want to. I hadn't really gotten out of bed. I could walk about a half a block, is all. But I knew I was supposed to, inner-wise for me. And I said, I will do the story if you allow me to say God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ in this story and use it. And they said they would, and they did. And that's who was, I know it sounds miraculous, but that's who was there with me. And I hadn't any doubt about it. It was made through my heart, through my mind, everything, and it still is right now. Hasn't ever changed. Everything that I told you is everything that's happened since then. Sometimes you say, well, there's some dotting the T's and crossing the I's. I didn't know where, I didn't even know what hospital I was in there. I didn't know any, you know, how could I? I missed all of that part. I didn't know what had happened to me, to my physical body. I know what happened to me and permeated my entire being, and I will go to my next death, whether it's tomorrow or 30 years from now, eager to reinvite that into everything that I am, without any question. And I will be held absolutely responsible for what I'm telling you here today. That's fine.
I think you partially answered my question as you answered hers, but what you just indicated by way of spiritual experience, someone was there with you. You weren't alone during this experience, and you indicated God the Father, Jesus Christ. Was there any special instructions or directions imparted to you during this experience?
The words that were audible, again, many, many of your souls are praying for you. So many things that happened, and believe me, I've dissected every second, I think, of what on during that period. Every little detail, I thought about it later and as time went on. To me, from a religious standpoint, every single prayer is answered, without question, in a perfect way. And that's for us to have faith in. So every prayer is answered, regardless of your religion. Every honest prayer, even if you don't have a religion, if you pray honestly to a greater being, that is heard and answered. So that was amazing. In other words, some of these things were not, I didn't have to hear words. The Lord parts, there was no question whatsoever. I can't even begin to put into words what I felt there. And some of the things I can't and won't. So much of this was left to me. You know what happened. You felt what happened. You realize who was there. It wasn't like, well, this is some prophet or something. It's like every single one of us have that opportunity. And we'll have that opportunity. Nobody is more special than the next. But if I'm going to have life, not only make every moment count for your family and yourself, but for anybody who ever asks you about it. And there have been maybe 1,000. People have come out of the woodwork. I mentioned I keep going back to the Muslim for a reason. I did a TV thing after the initial one that I report I did. Muslim woman came up to me, greeted me in a store, and told me, I want you to know, in her language, that every word you said, I know was true. And we both cried. I mean, that's just wonderful. And again, when I'm not Catholic, who cares? I love going to all their services and doing all these things. Whereas I may not have had that same deal before this happened. There isn't one person that's better than me. And in fact, probably everybody is. But in this moment, in maybe another question is going to be, it's happened before. Why? What's so great about you? Nothing. Except I know that the people whoever allowed me to have life, and I'm always kind of vague about it, just for I don't want to. Anybody get feeling like I'm getting too religious to them? But whatever reason I was allowed to have this, it was because I will take, my terminology is water at the end of the road. I am not going to, if I live another 30 or 40 years or whatever, I will not stop saying what happened. And I will say it as boldly as I possibly can. By and large, people of all the religions have taken great. It was 6 or 8 months in before somebody came to me at a religious function and said, people ever question that? And it just kind of blew me away. Question it? Why would they question it? But then as time goes on, I think, well, yeah, I guess, sure they would. And they can if they want to. Regardless of if somebody believed it or not, it's there and it's going to happen. And like I said, that's the greatest news you could possibly hear.
When you felt the feeling of that you're having, going to have a full recovery, and you felt it through every fiber of your being, did you talk telepathically to those that you're communicating with, or what was the process of communication?
I mean, I'd like to be able to say that I sat down and have a conversation. Well, again, I'll go back to there are areas, gray areas, where I could go to, and it sound a little more sensational and might quench some people's feelings a little bit more. I'm not interested in doing that. What I know for a fact is all that I will say. And that's a great question. I sit back and I think to myself, yeah, how did I know? All I know that it was this communing was such that words weren't necessary, which is weird, you know, to me, but they weren't. Why was I told, why did I hear the words, many, many dear souls are praying for you? Maybe it's because that was fairly early on in this, and I needed to hear that. And that's what really spurred me on. There, I'm laying down like this, getting worked on. My body is, anyway. I'm somewhere else just enjoying this. And I think you have to be transformed a little bit to be able to recognize this or the glory of it or this, the bright lights or what have you. I don't know all the answers to, you know, exactly how this thing was put together. I do know the answers to what I told you, and there's no question at all. In fact, again, I each day that I woke up, I said, it's like it just happened this morning. And so that was neat what Bill said about common denominators and things people say. Yeah, it's not, if you had a dream, yeah, probably, we all had dreams, man. I forgot this when I woke up. I remember parts of it and bits and pieces of it, but this one, there's been no doubt. It's all the same. I'm there going through it in my mind continuously, rethinking and thinking and wondering what the purpose of this was. And that's great. I have very few scary moments. I did. I mean, you know, I'd be afraid. I was on TV once for 250,000 people. And there, you know, oh, you got to be perfect. And every time before you go on the air, it seemed like every time I have the earpiece 20 seconds before we go on air statewide and other states and whatnot. Oh, we lost your shot. We lost your shot. And the guy cameraman, come on, we got to figure this out. And all, I mean, 10 seconds of coming up. I was covering the Mount West tournament at the Pepsi Center in Denver. 5, 4, we don't have it. We don't have it. And I said to myself, they're going to have it. Blah, blah, blah. 2, we got it. You're on. Those things scary. That probably led to my heart attack. without question, right? But now I don't. I chill, as everybody says. Hey, well, why should you? Those things don't mean anything. That's why I'm not doing it. I had a TV station get a hold of me just last week. I won't mention which one. You still interested in doing sports? How are you feeling? I'm feeling great. I mean, I literally feel like I did. I don't think I felt this good 30 years ago. I feel fantastic. Yeah, I feel sometimes slight bits of guilt when people say, no, I didn't have that success or in their surgery or whatever. And I recognize it. I don't try to flaunt it. This is one of the first times I've ever told you how great I feel. But the point isn't that, I've got this. The point is there was a reason for it, and I'm trying to fulfill it. And I enjoy every moment of it. It was a year before I could even really talk about it much. Because it was, they told me when I left with what happened to me, I died on a Friday a couple of times, had that surgery, died again, and what have you. Told that I was going to probably die this week. Another one told me that I had to go through open heart surgery, which is not, it's like 7 or 8 hours. And even when they pull your breathing tube out, it's, you're shocked back into life. It was, the whole thing was awful. I am infinitely happy that it happened and couldn't be more thrilled and that it did. And some of the particulars, again, I have my own theories, I have thoughts, but I stick to what I know without question. Oh, I was going to tell you about the suicide thing. Not me, and I had no thoughts whatsoever, but one of the things the nurse said, with what you went through, we're going to ask you to fill out this form saying you're not going to commit suicide. I said, what? He said, I'm sorry to have to ask you. I know you're in awful shape and blah, 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 but and this is a difficult time for you, and it's going to take responsibility away from us. I said, I'll sign whatever you want. And that's the last thing in my mind was commit suicide, even though it's a great place to go. It wouldn't be a great place to go by taking your own life. I can guarantee you that, but or at least your inward thoughts. I'll tell you what, the other feeling I had in there that I don't always share with people. Somebody had mentioned start earlier today about who had somebody die in the family, and especially children, mothers with children or whatever. Or you have a child who's, what happened? I did my best. What happened to them? Why did they turn out the way they were? Don't worry about it at all. Do live this great life I talked about. Everything's going to be taken care of. The things we deal with in this life are set up for us to be tested. Pass that test. Face challenges with a smile. And regardless of how, I wish I'd have brought that picture. All my grandkids, everybody's around. Everybody, what do we do? Smile. What do we do? Everybody's about in tears. And I'm just, yeah. Abba holla.
So how did your family accept your experience, your wife, your children, your aunt, and your brother? How did they accept your experience when you told them about that and how they react to it? And have you seen any changes in them since you've either behavior or thought processes or anything since that time?
And I'm going to get to answering your question this way. So about 4 months after this happened, I really wasn't out of bed very much. Mine was a difficult physical thing. And not all my life I've been athletic, or not athletic, I'm not, but I could move and never run without be weary. But I was about 4:30 one morning in January. I woke up and had this wonderful feeling like I did during that time, that time to write a book, and this is where you're going to put in it. Oh, that's great. I got up and I go, that's cool. I couldn't wait for my wife to wake up. And when she woke up, I said, guess what, I'm going to write a book. And she looked at me like, what? You've never written a book. You don't, what? And so I kind of thought, I know that. Anyway, 2 days later, I had another commune that said, yeah, write your dang book. And I wrote it. So I wasn't going to bring them today. They sold out in the stores. It all went well. It's behind me. Bill said, you know, bring a few if anybody's interested, whatever. I don't really, there's not a lot more in there that I'm saying here. Maybe I've even seen a little bit more. But how did they react? My wife and the kids all made a special time then, right then, to write down exactly what they were feeling. I had a daughter who was with my daughter. I have 4 kids. They're all married, doing great. 2 of the daughters were together in Denver at the time, and they had to stop what they were doing, come flying back, and it was really a difficult time for them and their children that came and their husbands. And everybody wrote down their feelings on it because I wanted to know, and a lot of it I wasn't even aware of because it was such a time. And I could go into it, might be kind of boring, but to me it was very heartwarming, the feelings that my son knew exactly what had happened to me before I told him. He prayed about it. And the first thing that happens when they brought me out of that when they stitched me up and said, okay, well, whatever, you know, let's try to figure out, let's go on to the next patient. That my son, who's he's a ordained minister and in his church, and he, and both of them are, and they prayed, and one of them said almost the same words that I heard, and I just cried. I wasn't in no position. I wasn't in any position to barely talk, but the tears flow down because And so it was an extension of what had just happened. So yes. They recognized I don't even know how long. It was a good deal of time later that I could even talk to anybody about what happened. I had a lot on my plate that week, and at that time I didn't even know that they were so convinced I wasn't going to make it. When they did, yeah, it was beautiful. None of them would think that I'd lie. I guess you'd have to ask them, you know. But what they did write was just marvelous. And I first heard about it 4 months later when I wrote the book, and they started sending me little clips to go in the book. I hope I answered. If I ramble, say, come on, you're rambling.
Yeah, you, thanks for coming tonight. And not to worry about, you know, your faith and what you believe. People are here because they have experienced or have been, it's been communicated to them, they know. We're just here to learn a little bit more. I was wondering if you had, you have any kind of a life review, like that, okay, for context, you're here now. This is your life. This is what you did in your life. Without judgment, just an observation. You can have opinions about it, but those that are play this life movie don't have a judgment one way or the other. It's for you. Did you have anything like that?
That's a great question, and here's how I'll answer it. I wasn't prepared for it. It wasn't a time, obviously, for having a great judgment. The only judgment that took place was me judging myself.
Yeah.
That was it. I felt nothing but love and joy, and everything's fantastic. You went through the difficult. Life is the hard part, right? The beautiful part is where you're going.
Yeah, it sounds like they're saying, I, good enough. You've played the game well enough to be a home run hitter, it's up to you if you want to keep playing. Did you have a sense of there was a purpose or a pattern in your life, your mortal life, that they gave you a sense of, well, you changed careers, you changed the thing. Secondary to this experience, was there anything that gave you a sense of, well, my life path needs to be adjusted a little bit, and I need to go in this direction?
And yes, of course there was. I went probably for 6-7 months, I think, for relative to me was perfect. I was afraid to do the slightest thing wrong. I thought, I can't do that. I mean, the slightest thing. I had to say something cross to my wife. Knock it off. You can't do that. Part of it was fear. And that's when I learned what the phrase, the fear of God, came from. I'm not afraid of him at all. I'm afraid of approaching this next life that we're going to go to and not being prepared to be that way. So again, the only judgment was me. And that's the thing that I was just telling a lady today. And yeah, in fact, I don't know, almost every day, somebody would say, oh, my kids aren't doing this or something. I said, ironically, you'll improve their life much more by just not worrying about it. Don't fear anything. Fear not. By doing that, you remove a huge negative element that shouldn't be there. Sometimes humans, we think, oh, I feel guilty if I'm not feeling awful. That's not the right, that's totally wrong. Right? We're all like that, right? And kind of feel like, I should be feeling awful about it. If you have children that come in and they're wayward, in any way that, as far as you feel they're wayward in some way, throw your arms around them, hug them, live your life. Don't change your life. Say, you're the greatest people I possibly know. I love you. They will recognize what you're doing, regardless of what they might say. But really, ultimately, after they get to the point where we're all going to go, that I experience without question, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be, I won't say a slate white, clean, but it's The things we worry about and little negative details, they don't mean anything. They're just a test for you. Get over those. Life gets so much better. It's been a great last couple of years. I am so happy now. I'm so at ease. I'm so can't wait to every day, virtually every day, I still have people come up and ask me questions. Sometimes a lot of them. Thrilled. Yeah, let's go. My answer don't change any more than they have here today.
So simply, what was the purpose behind your death experiences?
Is it? Oh, there you go.
It is I. Short.
My hair. What's your name?
Sandy.
Sandy?
Sandy.
Are you married?
I have been.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have children?
I have children and grandchildren that I love, and they're all wayward, and that's okay with me. They have their path to take.
What do you think?
They have a path.
The thoughts that I've said here on that, what does that mean to you?
There's a lot of different things that you've said. And I just
the part about how can I, as their mother and grandmother, best help them?
Love them.
Yeah.
And show them that you love them.
If they come in with something, say, Mom, I'm this or I'm that.
Who cares? I don't care.
That's something that's going to happen in their life. And
something they have to go through to learn.
You know what? That's the reason they
came. What was the purpose? What was your major purpose behind this experience that you had in death?
For me, I'm at a spot. Don't think that there's been a day. It's been like 1,000 days since this happened. I go over it all the time. Oh, was that your phone ringing? I was going to visit with him for a minute. Oh, you bonked your head there. I do think. I mentioned before, I honed in on some of the things talking with you all here today is one of them. Again, the 30 or 40 ladies who had lost a child that contacted me as soon as I walked off the TV set that time told me, yeah, there are people that really, even if it was one person, that's a not one person with a heavy heart that was sad. What's going to happen to my child? Are they okay? Are they aware of me? Yes, yes, yes. Not only they're okay, they couldn't be better. And so there's no reason for children coming up the line. You will help their lives in these incredible. You're gifted as their mother and grandmother and great grandmother, whatever it comes out to be. Well, I bet you're a great grandmother, though, even though you're not a great grandmother. You've got this sole gift as being the person that had them. Women are the greatest champions of the whole earth, as far as I'm concerned. They, having children, so the Lord himself, well, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be using all that terminology, but I'll tell you that there's a huge reward out there, if you want to use it that way, for those who bore children. And when you lose one or you have one go astray, he's fully aware of that. And there's going to be a incredible recompense. Everything is going to be made not just whole again, but infinitely better than you probably can even imagine. So to me, what did I learn to be able to visit with people? There's this sense of when people died, it's not very frequent. And when they come back and have an opportunity to say this, it's a pretty rare event I found over the last 3 years. There are people that are in that position, and the ones I've heard all have kind of, again, the consensus of certain elements to it that always, regardless of the religion, because I spoke to a religious school, they had me speak to all of their, it wasn't LDS or anything, you probably don't even know it, but there was a school of just Christian children, in every class they had come in and listen to what I had to say. And so it's for everybody, and it's just a peace loving thing.
Okay.
And
yes.
Anybody in here who still may have a thought after this 20 or 25 minutes or whatever, we'll go outside and I'll sit here till 1 o'clock in the morning if you want. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. My heart is so full. Everything that you've said resonates with me. I like what you said with Sandy, resonates with me also. But what I got out of this was the part that you talked about, the prayer. The prayers were so powerful, and they are so powerful. I've seen that where you can feel the prayers from other people. I call my mom, Mom, have you been praying for me? I'm feeling your prayers. Well, yeah, I've been on my knees every day. So I feel, I'm going to answer her question, your question. Maybe it's not right, but maybe it is. But I feel like maybe you got the power of a testimony from your first prayer that night before, that the power of prayer was very important for you to know and to learn, because then you had someone tell you you had an answer to prayer through all the souls praying for you.
What's your name?
Lois.
Lois, I made that point exactly for that reason. And it was months or year or something before I realized, because I'd forgotten about that. But I was back there at that point in the house again at a later date, looking out there and said, oh my goodness, I prayed right here in my worst hour. Yes, it is critical to be aware of those things. And I felt it with all my heart that you ask in genuineness, and it'll be answered in a great way. So bless your heart, ma'am.
But I want to know what you can tell us about communing with heaven and how we can improve our communion with heaven. And maybe it has to do with our listening or what we ask. Or
the more you do that is positive, the more that this next life is going to be close to you. You know what? What was your name? I'm sorry.
Catherine.
You hear about people saying, oh, I hope my husband's who's passed on, or my kids who passed on, or are they aware of me and all? Absolutely aware of you.
We're out of time. Thank you so much, Joe. And anybody else wants to come down and talk to him, please come down.